The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
Today's scripture is Mark 8, 27 through 38, if you want to follow along. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
Oops. Got to get it better with my new toy.
Isn't that fun, though? Got to lapel mic here. Might be able to move, but not that way, right, Conrad?
Correct.
Not that way. Okay.
Unless you want to wake everybody up.
We'll see how it goes. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you. As you'll see behind me, we have our passages for today. And look how good Nels did. She wrote down our point of emphasis, the call, pursue glory and enter joy. Thank you, Nels. Appreciate that. We're going to focus primarily on Mark 8, 34 to 38, okay? And your parallel passages today are up there, but let me go ahead and say them if you want to look at them this week. Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 28, and Luke chapter 9, 18 to 27. The call, pursue glory and enter joy. Pursue glory and enter joy. So let me stop and pray for us, and then we'll get started here. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together and once more learn what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. God, this word is weighty. These scriptures, Lord, are overwhelming when we look at them, when we look at your command and what you ask us to do as followers. Jesus, this is about making you Lord. This is about dying to ourselves. This is about pursuing your glory and entering joy. God, when I read these scriptures, when your spirit convicts me, God, it reveals my heart to me. And it shows me how far I fall from what you're asking me to do. God, I ask you today, Lord, that as we hear your word, as your spirit fills us, God, I pray and ask, God, that we would be reminded, Lord, that our goal is to treasure you. Our goal is to know you. That's the target, God. We thank you for that. We thank you for each year, Lord. Father, we want to lift up all those who are sick this morning, as many are struggling through different things of the season, God. And Father, we want to lift up our sister, Jaden, to you, Lord, and just pray, God, that you continue to fill her with your spirit, God, as she serves you in Haiti with other brothers and sisters. Thank you for the opportunity we're giving you. We pray, Lord, that we please you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let's review a little bit from last week. We want to look at today's passage because both parts fit together like a puzzle. And Jesus asked this key question. Look at your Bibles at verse 29. Look what it says. He says, who do people say that I am? And here's the truth. How we answer this question has a weight far beyond this life. The truth is, it has eternal ramifications for all of us. And Jesus goes on to ask the disciples, not only do who do people say that I am, but he says, what about this, guys? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Again, a question we all have to answer. But I want to remind you how I encouraged you this last week. First, I addressed anyone in here who hasn't trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I gently nudged you. And can I say this because I love you, that I'm going to continue to gently nudge you? I gently nudged you this week as you lay down at night and go to sleep, or as you get ready to wake up in the morning, that you pray that God would reveal your sinful heart, that you wouldn't see yourself the way you think you are, but the way that God says that you are. Because in order for us to understand what Christ's rescue means for us personally, we have to see our sin. It's vital we see ourselves the way that God says that we are. We go back to Mark chapter 6, where Jesus says, it's not what on the outside that makes you unclean, it's what comes from your heart that makes you unclean. And so we think about that. And then for what about the rest of us? Because I challenged all of us here who are in Christ Jesus, who have trusted in the finished work of the cross of Christ. And I asked you to respond a different way. I encouraged you to meditate on these verses. Verses 34 to 38. And what it means for all of us to not just call Jesus Savior, but to call Him Lord. And remember, all of us have our own agenda. And making Jesus Lord is about dying to that agenda. That's what it means. So look at the response in verse 29 here, quickly. Peter's confession, you are the Christ. We have to understand, this is a breakthrough in the Lord's ministry. This is a turning point. This is a focal point of this study in Mark's gospel. And what Peter is saying is, Jesus, you're the anointed one. You're the one the prophets spoke about. You're the Messiah. You're the King. You're the Savior. And praise God for that confession. But the disciples, as is true for us, they understood the title, just like sometimes we know the words of Scripture, but they did not grab a hold of the weight of what it meant. That he would be mocked. That he would be rejected. That he would suffer. And that ultimately, that he would die. Peter didn't understand this. The disciples didn't understand this. But Jesus had to die to save his disciples. And Jesus had to die to save all of us. The cross was the only answer. It was the only act that was sufficient in the Father's eyes. But we see in our passage that they couldn't fathom this. That Peter couldn't have eyes to see this. And so what does he do? He speaks up and he rebukes Jesus. He rebukes him harshly. And in verse 33, look how Jesus responds. Man, he comes out swinging. He does not pull any punches. He draws a line in the sand and he says, "Men, let me make clear to you right now, there is no place for this mindset. I have no place in my kingdom for this rebuke." Listen to his words. "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on what? But on the things of man." In other words, you have your own agenda. And to be my follower, you have to die to it. You have to die to it. So may I stop and remind you, as my brothers and sisters in the Lord, what's at stake this morning? This is about your sanctification, which means you're being made into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's many ways to say this. Peter, in his epistle, he calls it growing in grace. The Apostle Paul, in his letter, his second letter to Corinth, says it this way: you are being saved. Bottom line, it's learning to walk by faith and not by sight. That's what we're after. Learning to hear this truth and to walk in it. That's the goal. That's what we're after. And it's in all areas of our lives. Or as I heard a pastor say on a podcast this week, it's moving from unbelief to belief. That's the goal. So we're going to focus on Jesus' words in verses 34 to 38. And again, this is the call for all of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus to lay down our agenda. And watch this, to allow the Lord to be Lord of our lives. Not just in words, but how we live them. So what's the call? Pursue glory and enter joy. Pursue glory and enter joy. And this is Jesus' message. It's a tough message. He's saying to his disciples, not only do I have a cross to bear, but what? You have a cross to bear. And they had to follow Jesus in his footsteps. And you and I are called to do the same thing, but we need to be careful here. And I want to preface this. Just because something bad is going on in my life, it doesn't mean it's a cross. Just because my circumstances are difficult, it does not mean that it's a cross. Because here's what a cross is. It's losing for the sake of Christ. That's what a cross is. So it's not everything bad that I'm going through. And sometimes I make that mistake and I might say that or think that, but that's not true. A cross is losing for the sake of my beautiful Jesus. That's what it is. But let me preface this morning by saying that the command that Jesus gives in 34, guys, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And we have to understand something. This is not, and it will never be, an instant change. That's not how sanctification works. It's not a one-time shot. And we can't think of it that way. Because if we do, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm going to get discouraged. And doubt is going to sit in very quickly. Can't think of it like that. As the saying goes, Rome was not built in a day. Right? So what is it? Pursuing glory and entering joy is a day-by-day process. It's a moment-by-moment process. You know what the truth is? That's all I can handle. That's all I can handle, moment by moment. Because if I look at it any other way, woe is me, a sinner. I mean, that's just how it is, right? I must trust the Lord in the present right now because it's the only place I can walk by faith. That's it. I cannot walk by faith in the past, but I have to remember this. The past is on the cross of Christ. Amen? I can't walk by faith in the future. Why? Because I'm not there. God's there, but I'm not there. The only way that I can do what God is asking me to do is moment by moment. That's it. That's it. So let's look at verse 34 and read this weighty command. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So right off the bat, we have to understand that when it comes to denying ourselves, when it comes to taking up our cross, when it comes to following Jesus, now don't miss this, the strength to believe Jesus' words and to obey the Lord's words. Or another way to say, to live, to see the Lord live out these words in me is only possible by grace. By grace. In other words, it's the Lord empowering me. It's Him living through me. But be careful. And I'll be honest, I thought this for a long time. I was like, this is easy. Jesus does all of it. So I just get to lay back in my spiritual lazy boy and say, Jesus, I'm going to wait for you to do your thing. Is that how it works? I'd like it to, but it doesn't. It doesn't work that way. So here's what we have to understand. Church family, we have a part. We not only have a part, we have a vital part. And we cannot repeat this enough. We are called to move toward treasuring Jesus more and more and more. That's what it means to pursue glory and inner joy. That's the call. That's the call. So practically, what does this look like? Well, if we sat down with one another today, we'd probably all say different things. What does it mean for you to pursue glory and inner joy? What does that mean? Well, I think we can agree that it's definitely making it a regular practice to be in the truth of God's Word. It's learning about who He is. It's taking in His character. And it's important that I approach the Word, asking God, okay, Lord, here's what your word says. How do I walk in wisdom? How do I respond? What does responding look for to the word that you've given me today? What does it look like? It's trusting His promises. It's taking steps of faith. We want to walk by faith and not by sight, but it goes against our flesh. It's praying regularly. It's acknowledging Him. It's watching for what He is doing and having dialogue with Him about it. What are you doing here today, Lord? How can I be a part of it? Would you give me an opportunity to live out what you showed me today in my quiet time? It's including Him in your struggles. It's celebrating Him in your victories. It's praising Him in your circumstances, good or bad. And it's thanking Him when you see that gradual growth, when you're bearing fruit, speaking about Him to one another. What are we after? Walking by faith and not by sight, making disciples. That's what we're after. Asking, what is he doing? What has he taught you this week? It's praying together, trusting God together, getting in the Word together, reminding everybody what's at stake, what's on the line for us. It's moving past talking about the mundane and spurring one another on in our faith in Christ Jesus. And we can, for the rest of the time, say what else it is. And in your mind, you have what else it is. How you pursue glory and inner joy. This isn't a formula. This isn't a formula. How all of us treasure Jesus can be different. And that's good. That's good. But it's a lifelong process to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. It is. And we have to understand the only way this occurs is by entering the joy of treasuring Jesus. Entering the joy of treasuring Jesus above all else. So following Jesus, our scripture says, it means denying myself and taking up my cross. Denying myself and taking up my cross can be defined in many ways. But think about it along these lines. It's putting off the flesh. It's making the decision not to indulge the flesh. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians 5:24. But see, it's not just putting off. We have to watch this. It's not only choosing not to fulfill the desires of the flesh, but there's a replacement. It's choosing to walk in the Spirit. It's choosing to kill the flesh. It's starving my flesh to do what? To feed my spirit. Because joy is better than happiness. My flesh lies and says happiness is better. But it's not. Joy is better. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Psalm 63:3. I'm laying down my will for God's will. I'm laying down my plans that are temporal for God's that are eternal. I'm putting aside my agenda to fulfill Jesus' command in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's choosing not to think like the world, and instead to think like Christ. It's not succumbing to the lies of the world, to the lies of the world system around us, and instead walking in wisdom. We've said this once, but what is walking in wisdom? How am I responding to the pearls, to the truth that God has given me? What motivates this denial? What motivates this taking up my cross? It's remembering the gospel. It's speaking the gospel to myself. It's remembering that while I shook my fist at my Creator, why I mocked him, why I trampled him, why I belittled his name, he died for me. That's what it is. And when I chose the world and the things that he created, what did he do? He loved me first. Praise God for that truth. Jesus loved you and I first. He did. And I didn't deserve it. And neither did you. And what else does it mean? God calls me to say no to the acceptance of men. He calls me to accept opposition. He calls me to avoid the praise from men. This is hard. And make every effort to lift up the matchless name of Jesus. The command means to agree not to pursue safety, to not pursue security, to not pursue comfort, and to put on suffering. That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. And it does not always mean, but it certainly can mean. And our brothers and sisters who live in countries where they can't even say the name of Jesus, they can't gather to worship the name of Jesus, they can't have the Bible in front of them, for them they understand that following in Jesus' footsteps can even mean that they lay down their lives for his sake. Doesn't always mean that, but it can mean that. There are men and women all over the world that are being martyred for the beautiful name of Jesus. And Jesus is calling all of us as his disciples. He's saying, daughter, he's saying, son, pursue glory and enter joy and count the cost. I'm calling you to count the cost. Put off the world and put on me. Put off the world and put on Jesus. Die to self and chase holiness and righteousness. Paul tells us to train in righteousness. Peter says to pursue holiness. Ephesians 4:22-24 says this: to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So following Jesus, calling Jesus Lord, is surrendering to his kingship. It's surrendering to his lordship. This is a hard one. It's taking orders, not giving them. Saying yes to God. Saying yes to his will. Saying yes to his way. And even when it doesn't make sense, even what I'm hearing, what I'm feeling, what I'm seeing tells me that obeying God's word doesn't make sense. Pursuing glory and entering joy is saying, yes, I will trust you. I will trust you. Jesus always takes priority for those who call him Lord. Pursue glory and enter joy. Not all at once, but one day at a time. Can I beg you right now not to do it all at once? Can I beg you? Can I say to you that it's day by day? And can I say to you that there's grace when you fall? Can I say to you that you can stop and confess? Can I say to you that you can repent? Can I say to you that the cross was enough? The cross is enough. So that means that you get to grow in grace. That's what that means. You get to pursue holiness and righteousness and grace. You get to pursue glory and enter joy and grace. For there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Do we understand that this morning? It's a moment by moment, day by day. And when you mess it up, and you will, say, "Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me." Say it. Confess it and get right back on. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ and spur one another on. Spur one another on. Not all at once, but moment by moment, choosing to treasure Jesus, making Him primary, making His glory primary, and again and again and again choosing to enter joy. Isn't God good that worshiping Him means joy? Isn't He good? Yes. He's good, isn't He? He's good. Entering joy is worshiping Jesus. Making the most of Christ and lifting up His name is entering joy. Not happiness, joy. But what is joy, church family? It's eternal. It's eternal. What's Jesus going to say to us if we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Enter my what? My joy. That's what He's going to say. Remember Chris's question in our study in Jude. I hope you thought about that because it's a great question. Remember how I compared it to soldiers. But what was the question he asked us? Why are we coming to church? Great question. Here's my prayer for you. My prayer is that so you pursue glory and inner joy. My prayer for you is that you take steps to walk by faith and not by sight. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's the target. That's what we're aiming for. In my relationships, with my resources, in my work, in my leisure, in all circumstances, in all seasons of life, in seasons of hardships, in seasons of triumph, in every area of life, all for my God and Savior. There it is. That's what we're after. It's okay not to be okay here. It is. It's okay to be a sinner because I'm one too. It is. It's okay. And we get to grow in grace. It's okay to fall short because Jesus said it's finished. It's okay. So where's freedom? It's pursuing glory and entering joy. It's saying, "Thank you, Lord. I get to grow in grace." We just have to be honest about it. We have to call our sin what it is. It's sin. It's anything in our life that's not of faith. But we're making disciples. The goal to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to say that 100 more times, okay? I hope you're all right with that. All right. So, Matthew 13:44. Here it is. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had. And what did he do? He bought the field. He bought the field. That's what the Lord's asking us to do. Will you buy the field? You found the treasure. You found the treasure. What's the treasure's name? Amen. The name above all names. The only one worthy of your devotion. The only one worthy of your worship. The only one worthy of your praise. He's the treasure. I am going to move away from verse 34, I promise. All right, so please look at verses 35 and 30 through 38. I want to point out something to you. The Lord's going to give four reasons. Four reasons to pursue glory and inner joy. And notice that each one of them is going to start with the word for. F-O-R. For. four different reasons to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Jesus. First one, for whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. That's number one. Number two is found in verse 36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Number three is found in verse 37. For what can a man give in return for his soul? Last one found in verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful nation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You see those fours? There's four fours. It's confusing, isn't it? All right. First one found in verse 35. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. So the scripture presents two options. Two options here. Option number one, commit our lives to Jesus. Deny our will. Give up our rights. And surrender to the King of Kings. Jesus says this leads to eternity with him. This leads to sharing in glory with him. And again, this is where what is found. This is where joy is found. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But there's a second option as well. What's that option? Live our lives how we want. Call the shots. Which is a myth that we call the shots. But we think we call the shots. Right? Pursue pleasure. Pursue the things of this world. Seek first comfort and the approval of men. But what does this choice mean? It means living eternity without Christ. Here's what else it means. It means living as an object of his wrath. That's what it means. Matthew 22:13, Jesus says this about those who reject him. Bind him in hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Put your finger on verses 36 and 37. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? The message of Jesus is simple here. It's sobering, but it's simple. When our lot is up and we leave this earth, we're only taking one thing with us. We're only taking one thing. What is it? It's our soul. That's what we're taking with us. It's not our things. It's not our finances. It's not our resources. They all get left here, as Ecclesiastes tells us, for someone else. And those who have chosen the path of destruction, whose lot is up here on the earth, if they had others guide them into that, hold their hand into choosing the wide way, the truth is, not one of those people come with them. Not one. Everyone goes alone to stand before the one who gave everything. And even if a man or a woman spends their entire life mocking Jesus rejecting Jesus. They still have this appointment. And they've still received grace from God again and again and again. Because the scripture says that anything that has value in our life, anything that has meaning, anything that is good, is from a God, our God, that's good. So we go alone. We stand before Him. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We all have an appointment, and it can't be changed. We cancel appointments, but we can't cancel this one. No matter how much we have on this earth, nothing can ransom our soul. And essentially, those who reject Christ, those who choose the pleasures of sin and of chasing sin, and of doing everything to make themselves on the throne, here's what they're doing. They're trading 8 to 10 decades at most for eternity. 8 to 10 decades at most for forever. That's the truth. That's the weight of what Jesus is saying. And there's no deal to be worked out with God. If a man forfeits his soul, all the resources in the universe could not buy it back. And honestly, God could say, that's mine, right? Wouldn't matter anyway, but it's God's. Nothing other than the blood of Christ will be sufficient. And that's why we gather today in grace. Psalm 49, 7 through 10. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly. It can never suffice that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. The last reason is found in verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Lord says, if we're ashamed of speaking up about him, that he's our Lord and our Savior, that he'll be ashamed of us. If we deny him before men, he will deny us before his Father in heaven. There's no undercover followers of Christ. We are on a battlefield, as Chris reminded us in our beautiful study of the book of Jude. I hope you've thought about those truths. And called to be ambassadors of Jesus, raising our flag regardless of how the world responds to us or views us. Bearing a cross is for the sake of Jesus. I met with Yarkoy this week, and he shared with me, and I've heard this story many times before, but I think he heard this from Yala, that there are 12 brothers and sisters in Sudan right now that have been told to renounce their faith or they lose their lives. and they've refused. And here's what they've said to the Lord. Lord, I'm willing to bear shame. I'm willing to bear humiliation. I'm willing to bear suffering. I'm even willing to bear death because I found the only treasure there is, and it's you. And I want to bring glory to your name. I want to bring glory to you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for all our persecuted brothers and sisters. One of the reasons why our mission support force to the martyrs. We need to pray that they have a boldness, that the Spirit fills them. They have a peace and a strength and a love for their persecutors. That's only possible through grace. Denying ourselves and taking up our cross means pursuing glory and entering joy. Entering the joy of treasuring Christ. One more time. It's day by day. It's moment by moment. It's learning to walk by faith and not by sight. If you're in grade school or middle school, look at me right now. You're going to be able to listen the whole time. Right now, okay? All right. The Lord Jesus loves you. He wants you to learn to walk by faith in the promises of His Word and not by sight. See, everything around you guys is going to tell you. If you're in high school, everything around you is going to tell you to live how you feel and your natural mind. But I want you to know that your parents, that your church family, that those who follow the Lord around you, the reason they speak Jesus to you, the reason they read the Word to you, is because they love you and they want you to pursue glory and enter joy. And that means walking not how I feel, not based on what I see or what I hear in my flesh, but instead walking on what you're learning in God's Word. Does that make sense? That's what God's after for you. That's why we come to church on Sunday. And we all need to ask for forgiveness when we don't show you that. Because that's the goal. To learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And my brothers and sisters here, the same thing is true for all of us. See, this is a journey. But the journey is for us to move, for us to grow in grace. If you're saved in here, you gather in your small groups. You open your Bibles. You spend time in prayer. You come on Sunday morning for one reason, and don't forget that reason. It's to walk by faith and not by sight. It's to bring glory to Jesus. It's to say to those around us, I've found the treasure. Can I tell you about Him? Can I show you who He is? We don't always do that. But that's what God is asking us to do. That's what it means to call Him Lord. And that's what it means to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Jesus. Pursue glory and enter joy. Let's pray. God, help us do this. Lord, many times we come here, we have different things on our mind. I confess that to you, Lord. This is so convicting because there's many times I don't have my eyes on the eternal. And I thank you, Jesus, that because you died for me, because the grave couldn't hold you, that I'm free to pursue glory and enter joy. Lord, we want to be about one thing. We want to be about helping one another grow in this. Grow in walking by faith and not by sight. Hiding your word in our hearts and asking you, how are we to respond? We need your help. Spirit of the living God, will you fill us? And I pray for the rest of the day today, just today, because that's all we can handle, just the next moment, God, that you help all of us learn what it means to die. Learn what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. Just in the present, right now. We pray this for your glory and for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.